Clap.
All right.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Welcome to the sound waves of
If we did it. The sound waves. I like the sound waves.
It's like it's a whole audio experience.
It is.
And I should
audio visual
going in and out
treat.
From the mic. It is a treat. Everyone should be feeling lucky.
Everyone should be.
To listen to our voices.
Take my bracelet off again because it's going to rattle.
Yeah, we're a rattly bunch today, I think.
Rattle me bones. All right, This week,
we're talking about the 2014 movie Chef.
Chef,
which...
Directed by Jon Favreau.
This is a Jasper movie, first and foremost.
Fuck, dude. Is it ever.
This is a major Jasper movie. I don't know if you were the one who suggested it originally, but it's such a Jasper movie that I think I said, we gotta direct Chef. And it's also just a movie that I don't even have, like, hot takes on it. It's just, like, I have some takes on it. And they're different from yours.
That's fair.
And I don't, yeah. I'll try not to be a wet blanket, because I do like this movie, but I think I don't have the same, like, deep love for it.
For all the listeners back home, Maddie's parents still live under the same roof.
Yep.
So she doesn't know exactly what's up.
Shout out Katie and Sean. They'll be listening to this.
Oh, our lovely audience.
Yes. When this is finally on Spotify.
All right, so Chef. I wrote a little synopsis.
You're reading this in the beginning.
We just do it at the top.
Gotcha.
Chef Carl Casper is restless. Divorced and stagnating professionally, he blows up at an online critic, losing his job. He returns to Miami, the birthplace of his family and career, and opens a food truck where he hopes to connect with his young son.
Beautiful.
I'd say that's pretty much the movie. I'd say that's pretty much the arc of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. The father-son relationship is definitely at the core, I'd say.
I'd say it's, like, definitely one of the best movies about fatherhood.
Yeah.
There's a lot of movies that feature, like, a relationship between father and son, but it is, like, a great movie about fatherhood, and it's a great movie about, like, I think creating something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, food, like, a food truck, like, a business, like, a family.
Obviously, it's a great food movie. I'd say it's a great art movie in general.
I'd say it's pretty amazing. I'd say it's pretty ahead of its time in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like, it deals with a lot of its themes that were, like, newer themes for movies to deal with at the time, like, talking about social media, talking about, like, technology and a younger generation and how that sort of gap between, like, a younger generation and an older generation affects, like, children. Like, and I think it handles it all really well in a really smart way.
It's wildly uncynical about the internet.
It's great.
At the end of the day.
I think that was, it's refreshing based on the trajectory of, like, the movie about the internet these days.
I think I just, like, not to be an annoying wet blanket so early on, but I have enough of a disdain for social media that when I see that on screen, I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Come on, get out.
Also, for our viewers at home, Maddie does not have Instagram and is kind of proud of that.
Yeah, I am. Well, I don't, like, look at people who have Instagram and I'm like, oh, sheep. Like, I'm not like that, obviously, but I think I managed to ride the waves of wanting to get it as a teenager to try to fit in. And I never ended up getting it because I knew it would have a negative impact on my mental health. And I managed to never really get into it. I'm still absolutely addicted to many forms of the internet. Like, I'm on YouTube way too much.
I wish I could disable YouTube Shorts.
Oh, dude.
Like, as a feature, but there's not a way to do it.
I use YouTube, like, I use the... Safari app and I go Safari. On YouTube.
I need the app.
I don't know if it does this on the YouTube app, but you can click X if it if shorts show up on your homepage.
Not as like a little module?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be nice.
I usually do that because I don't like YouTube shorts and I still get stuck scrolling through them sometimes.
The movie clips get me. The movie clips
you
have got
you get movie clips
I
on
get movie
here?
Clips constantly. On your recommended. It's just like there's like full there's movies that the algorithm sort of digs into.
Really?
And are they... it was like Inglourious Bastards was a big one.
Okay. I guess Tarantino movies
Tarantino
could
movies
make good,
got picked up by this fairly often.
Could make
like
good
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Django, Inglourious Bastards. These are all movies that I've seen. Like, I watched most of Django before I saw Django.
See, isn't that sad?
It's a little sad, but I used to watch movies by watching the. the CinemaSins version of them.
Oh, because I mean, we all have been there in this generation.
I didn't want to make my parents rent a bunch of movies. We didn't really have money to be renting movies all the time. So I was like, I'm watching movies. And then I think it sort of, it definitely contributed to like a contrarian streak.
Yeah.
And it's like, CinemaSins is really bad faith criticism and is really designed to entertain more than anything else. But also, the guy likes to hide behind the fact that it is, like, criticism a lot. It's, like, satire and art, which is weird.
I don't totally buy that, just because most of the audience probably isn't watching it thinking that it's satire.
I think there's Cinema Wins, which is legitimately
I've seen
very, very good film criticism.
I think
like,
that's very cute.
Talks about, like, a lot of more technical aspects of filmmaking, talks about like
which is awesome
visual storytelling
a
lot.
If you
want
to try to appreciate the little things in the movie
really
that you
good.
Like
and the guy's very positive and very open about like his feelings about movies and how his like personal biases will affect this.
That's really nice.
And also his movies skew like 2 to 4 times longer than an average CinemaSins movie review.
Oh, like the length of the video, you mean?
They're like, they're usually around like 20 minutes, and the average CinemaSins back in the day, I would say, was like 15, like 30 to, or 13 to 15 minutes.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Like, they're not long.
Yeah. Long enough for 11-year-old me to watch it and be like, huh, Twilight sucks. Little did I know, Twilight is one of the great movies of
great.
The 21st century.
Fucking gobsmackingly good soundtrack for Twilight. Speaking of good soundtracks, Chef.
Well, should we start off? Well, okay. We should start off with our corrections from the last episode, like stuff you had to cut out, right?
Yeah. Do I have corrections?
Well, you said that...
Oh, yeah. Linus Sandgren. Yeah. I said Linus Sandgren, one to watch. Little did I know at the time, Linus Sandgren was the DP for La La Land. I was like, okay, so I've been watching Linus since I was in fucking high school.
Yeah.
Like,
and you watched him in Don't Look Up.
Yeah, he was
a
the
movie
DP.
That we were bitching about on that episode.
He was the DP of Don't Look Up. Don't Look Up looked fine.
Sure.
Linus is a good... Fine. Linus is a good... He also did First Man.
Okay.
Which no one talks about.
I've heard
First
that's a
Man.
Good movie.
I've heard it's really great.
Never seen it.
But no, I'd never heard of it until a professor last semester, this insufferably elitist and like...
a last semester
uppity,
improv.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about a Wheaton professor
for
a second, and I was like, hey, bud, go on.
Like very, very just up his own ass... professor talked about it, and we spent like an amount of time talking about biopics at the time and how there are like no good biopics because it's like a dead text.
A dead text.
Yeah, it's like not... there's nothing new to be learned from it. Like, you could watch a documentary and get the same thing out of it. Is the position that some people were taking.
Yeah, that's a decent take.
I think so. I think my big problem with, like, biopics is that, like, people will look at, like, the scenes where they just recreate, like a music video, and they're like, oh, they paid so much attention to detail. It's like, do you know how easy it is to recreate video? That's the easiest thing you can ask a filmmaker to do.
I don't know. A lot of biopics still really get me, so.
No, and then we talked about good, it was like, can anyone like name good biopics? And I pulled two out. I said Love and Mercy, because yes. One of your favorite movies.
I love that.
I still have never seen it.
We gotta cover it.
We do.
Upcoming episode, stay tuned. Love and Mercy.
And I don't remember what the other one I said was. Maybe Oppenheimer, maybe. I don't remember.
That, yeah, I guess I don't even think of that as a biopic, but yeah, it is. Those both are biopics that play with time.
Yes.
And go back and forth. Yeah. Many, many tangents ago. Oh, should we describe how this is an O.J. Simpson podcast in a calm and not loud way?
So, the name of this podcast is If We Did It, which is based on the title of Mr. O.J. Simpson's...
Mr. O.J. Simpson's Jasper's memoir idea for the listeners at home. Yes,
Mr. O.J. Simpson's memoir. If I did it, yes. But the if is really small.
Well, I don't think that was his choice. The whoever designed the cover was like, it would be really funny if we made the if like tiny, so it just looks like I did it.
Anyways, O.J. is, I mean, murder is not something that's funny, and the O.J. Simpson case is like a landmark. Like piece of like judicial history, I'd say.
Yeah.
And it is like genuinely very interesting.
And Jasper has been fascinated with it for the past year or so.
I'd say about and anyways, I just thought it would be funny if we called it if we did it.
And I think
case,
it is
just
funny.
In case we ever get OJ on the pod.
Yes, this is what I was talking about last episode when I started passionately banging my fists on the table.
Get OJ on the pod.
I said, OJ Simpson, I'm going to say this in a soft ASMR relaxing voice for OJ to hear. You should come to Wheaton College campus. Don't announce it. Don't have any security around you. Just show up.
Don't have any. It sounds like we're trying to kill him.
No. We're trying to...
OJ, the glove will fit me, you bitch. will be convicted of your murder.
that's a good pull for him. Anyway, that's the pod. Oscars recap?
Oppenheimer got too many.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. It was a decent broadcast.
The dog was funny.
I think I missed the dog.
The waving dog? There was, like, a waving dog, and it cut between the waving dog. It was just, like, faces in the crowd, you know how they do.
Okay.
And the dog was waving, and then later it, like, played dead. It was the dog from Anatomy of a Fall.
Okay.
And the dog like played dead at one point, and there's like a thing of Ryan Gosling like being like relieved when the dog starts moving again. Ryan Gosling, big fan of Ryan Gosling.
Me
at the
too.
Oscars this year.
He was just great.
Really
he put a big
sweet,
old smile, big
really
old dumb
sweet
smile on
with
my
him
face.
And oh my god, I saw this fucking heartbreaking thing on Instagram the other day of it was, they were playing me and Sebastian's theme from La La Land.
Okay.
And it just said, she became a famous actress, he became a successful musician. And because it's Emma getting her Oscar.
Okay.
And him performing at the Oscars.
Okay.
And
yeah, that's
God,
cute.
God, it was, it's so, like, I'm such a brain rot for La La Land. I love La La Land so much.
That's one of your original favorite movies, right?
Yeah. Oh, La La Land.
Oh, La La Land.
Oh, Linus.
Oh, Linus, the DP for La La Land.
Linus Sandgren, ASAC.
Yeah, but no, I had no individual problems with this Oscars. I just, my comments would be the same as last year. Like, I wish they spread out the awards more evenly.
It's
like,
boring.
Oppenheimer won so many.
It was
like,
predictable.
I think Cillian Murphy absolutely deserved it. I think Robert Downey Jr. deserved it.
I think Robert Downey Jr. deserved it in that, like, he hasn't had one. And he's an amazing actor. But, like, there were better supporting actors,
which,
I think.
Which was your choice?
I don't know. Honestly, as soon as the Oscars are over, all information about them leaves my brain.
Oh,
which is
shit.
Why I thought Spider Into the Spider-Verse hadn't won an Oscar.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah, no,
I had this, like, victim complex for a couple of years about, like, it not winning. I was like, it deserves to win. It revolutionized the medium. And then it turns out that all my fucking crusading about that movie has been for nothing.
It won the Oscar.
Because it won the Oscar.
It was wildly successful.
I know.
It changed so much. And it's okay that the second one didn't win, because The Boy and the Heron won.
I still haven't seen that.
I'd watch it with you, actually, because yeah. I want to watch it again.
I think, you said something, I think... Oh, I might have been you, actually. I don't remember who it was. But someone said that if Lily Gladstone was put up for supporting actress instead of lead, she would have won.
She would have won over Divine Joy Randolph.
Over Divine Joy Randolph. Like, she would have had a better chance.
Yeah, no,
she was really amazing in that movie.
Do you think she deserved to win over Emma Stone?
I don't know, because I haven't seen Poor Things.
That's fair. That's fair.
And I feel like the Oscars are politics. Everyone knows that the Oscars are politics. Give someone else a chance.
What,
she won for Emma Stone. Won for La La Land.
Yeah, I know. I honestly had the same thought. Like, maybe it was a great performance. I also haven't seen the movie. I'm sure it was a great performance. But yeah, I don't know. She already won Best Actress.
Yeah.
Warren Beatty read that card and thought that La La Land won Best Picture. So we know. We've been new.
That was the before last year. That was the last Oscars I watched.
Really?
Was the La La Land Moonlight Oscars? It didn't put me off of them. I just didn't understand. I went to sleep before that.
Oh.
Because I thought they won Best Screenplay, and I thought screenplay meant movie for some reason. I was like...
That's very funny.
I was like 15 or something. I don't know anything about movies.
Oh, man.
I thought it was just, like, crazy that happened.
It was. There have been no debacles at the Oscars in the past 2 years.
I thought Paul Giamatti deserved a shot for
He was really good.
Best
I watched
actor.
The holdovers over break.
It was really good.
I dug it, yeah.
It was really good.
I don't
what do you think about a comp between holdovers and Catcher in the Rye?
Never thought of that.
Really? That was like the first thing I thought of.
Really?
I was
Why?
Like, yeah, but if Holden Caulfield was like a college professor, or was it...
Oh, like if Holden Caulfield was
like
Paul Giamatti.
He's Paul Giamatti, yeah.
Oh. What makes you think that?
Not literally, but it's
like what's the
structurally
comparison?
It's similar. It's a story about growing up.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a story about growing up through, like, failure and loss.
Yeah, that's true. He doesn't really get any big dubs in the movie, but he still grows, and he learns through other people.
It's a great movie.
Yeah, I liked it. It didn't, like, hit me quite as hard as I wanted it to, maybe. Because, like, I don't know. Everyone said, like, it's such a warm and sweet movie. It's so cozy.
I thought it was really warm.
Yeah.
It is very cozy, but it didn't... I don't think it really lined up the, like, gut punch.
Like,
the father thing was nice, but...
It did. It absolutely, like, made me tear up.
Yeah.
Like... And it was shot in Western Massachusetts, so you know my ass was like, I've been on that street before, that's historic Deerfield.
That's funny.
It was good.
It was shot in Deerfield? That's crazy, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Jasper is also familiar with historic Deerfield.
I used to meet up at the Red Roof Plus Inn.
Yes. I drive past that every time I go to my aunt's house.
And get Buena Wisano before Jenna had diet restrictions.
Oh, yeah. Bueno, so good.
It was amazing.
Anywho, should we start with...
I think we should get on the chef.
El
chef. Jon Favreau.
Writer, director, and star of this movie.
And and boy, does it show by the women he is in relationships with in this movie.
Can I start out, like, I think... yeah, obviously I like this movie a lot. I enjoyed every minute of it. I don't think it can hit me totally emotionally. Like it hits you. I mean, it's not as relatable as it is for you, which, like, that's fine. That's just, like, difference in our lives and what movies affect us. But I think just how, like, transparently a vanity project this is just so funny to me, and it kind of takes you out of it.
Honestly, I think get the bag, Jon Favreau.
Oh, for sure.
You directed two Iron Man movies.
Here's the thing. Can I have his filmography written out on my notebook page. Mm-hmm. So, okay. First movie he directs is called Made in 2001, M-A-D-E. I haven't seen that.
I hadn't even heard of it.
Anyway, next is Elf.
Elf is great.
Great.
Also featuring an age-inappropriate romance.
Yes.
But one of the best Christmas movies of all time.
Yeah, yeah. Elf is good.
Extremely tolerable when compared to other Christmas movies.
Yes. But, you know, it's a comedy. It's a Will Ferrell. 2005, he directs Zathura, starring...
No opinions on Zathura.
Starring Can You Blow My Whistle Baby himself. I shouldn't say that. He was like a literal child in that movie.
Whose picture we had hanging below the TV.
Yes.
For our entire viewing of
yes.
this movie.
Yes, in Hungry Lions, we have two pictures of Josh Hutcherson in that pose. The first is underneath the TV. The second is in the upstairs bathroom, facing the toilet.
That was literally going to be my joke, is that it was going to be, like, in the shower or something.
It's close, yeah. No, you're not far off.
Oh.
Yeah, but Zathura, after that, he is hired to direct Iron Man, the first MCU movie. So, in my research for this episode, I didn't actually watch all of the video, but I watched this, I guess it came out in 2018 because it was a conversation between Kevin Feige and Jon Favreau 10 years after the first Iron Man. And maybe I was reading too much into it, but I felt like Kevin Feige, who's, like, still the main guy in charge of Marvel, he was being very, like, sentimental about it, and Jon Favreau's trying to stay a little bit more grounded, because Kevin Feige goes like, oh, we knew Jon Favreau had to be the director for this, because he gets people, he knows people, he's a human kind of director. And Jon Favreau's like, no, you hired me because I worked on Zathura and I'm good with special effects, because that's what I did for Zathura.
Because Kevin Feige's a fucking shill and a liar, and I hate his ass. Kevin Feige, bang my line, dude.
Yeah?
Let's get it.
Yeah?
Three rounds.
Three rounds of what?
Fisticuffs.
Okay.
I would knock that fucking hat knuckles off of his bald-ass head. I'd kill Kevin Feige. With that mic stand,
yeah?
I'd kill him.
Okay. Yeah, Kevin Feige.
You ever want to know what the inside of Kevin Feige's asshole sounds like? You'd know after that.
That's episode 3 of If We
It's ASMR. fuck, dude. Yeah, I don't know. Iron Man whips ass.
I love the first Iron Man.
That movie holds the fuck up.
And I think it is so good because of Robert Downey Jr. playing Iron Man.
Yeah, we talk about that all the time. Like, this is a consistent feature of Sarah Leventer film classes. It's talking about how Robert Downey Jr. is, like, this part of this, like, new wave of casting of, like, for the modern blockbuster, is that you're melding the person who's playing it with the character, and you're casting for that character because MCU Iron Man has never talked about addiction. MCU Iron Man has never talked about a bunch of stuff. They really haven't discussed, like, his relationship with his father that much. But by casting Robert Downey Jr., you get a lot of cultural shorthand.
Exactly.
He's got the bad boy persona. He's been to prison. He's got, like, a little bit of an edge on him. And you know he's he had this relationship with his father.
Yes.
It is, I think, truly a stroke of genius. Like,
really. And that's I would probably say that's the reason, obviously, why Iron Man was so successful and why the MCU grew into the biggest thing in the world.
I'd say it's probably Scarlett Johansson in that bodysuit in the second movie. But
and can I read the quote on that? Because, yeah, I mean, Kevin Feige hired Jon Favreau, but Jon Favreau hired Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. Like,
also for Chef,
his comeback. Yes, we'll get to that.
He's a fucking he's such a fucking weirdo in Chef.
Weird scene. Anyway, so IMDb says director Jon Favreau wanted Robert Downey Jr. because he felt the actor's past was right for the part. He commented, "The best and worst moments of Robert's life have been the public eye. He had to find an inner balance to overcome obstacles that went far beyond his career. That's Tony Stark." Yeah, Favreau also felt Downey could make Stark a quote-unquote likable asshole.
Yeah.
Which he's so good at. Usually I don't really love the likable asshole quote-unquote in a movie, but Robert Downey Jr. is good in everything.
He's a rogue with a heart of gold.
Yes.
Tropic Thunder.
I have not seen that.
You haven't seen Tropic Thunder?
No,
oh my god, we're doing Tropic Thunder.
Oh no. Okay.
We're doing Tropic Thunder for like April Fools or something. Like,
okay. That's coming up.
It's a good movie.
Okay.
It's genuinely a very good movie.
I didn't. The eyes you were giving me there made it seem like you were messing with
me. No, I think it's a really good movie. Like, it is. It's one of those movies where they're like, you could never make this anymore. And I was like, yeah.
What, because he does brown face in it? Or is it full
on
blackface?
He's full in blackface.
There you go.
I think he, like, says the N-word in that movie, too, maybe. But it's real, like, it is.
Oscar winner Robert Downey Jr.
in blackface.
Yep.
Actually, he does not say the N-word. There's a scene where the other black man in the cast of the movie says the N-word, and then he, like, grasps him in a bear hug and says, "For years, that word has been used to keep us down."
Is the bit that he thinks that Robert Downey Jr. is actually black?
No. He knows that he's not black, and he's giving him shit for it.
Okay.
And he's just, and Robert Downey Jr. is just like letting it completely go over his head. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It's so funny. God, one of the like all time great, completely stupid Ben Stiller comedies.
Oh boy. Okay. We'll check it out.
Yeah.
Maybe soon for April Fools. Mm-hmm.
So what's next on the docket for Jon Favreau's directing career?
The point that I wanted to make with Iron Man is that he was directed for his technical abilities, Jon Favreau. But what made the movie what it is Jon Favreau's heart as a director and his ability to see people, I'd say. Iron Man 2 comes next, 2 years later, 2010.
Not as good as Iron Man 1.
Yes, definitely not as good.
I don't think, it's definitely the worst of the three, but it's really not a bad movie.
I don't hate it, honestly. It's, like, kind of a slog, but, like,
it's fine.
Compared to some of the other shit that Marvel's pumping out these days.
Dude, Iron Man 3 gets a really bad rap, but, like, Shane Black comes in for Iron Man 3, and I love Shane Black.
Iron Man 3... was, I should say, like, the deliberate source of much of my hating my body when I was, like, 14 because of fucking Gwyneth Paltrow flexing her abs in that bikini the whole fucking movie. She's, like, held hostage. It's terrible. I do like that movie, though. I like the kid. Yeah,
notably, I thought was the kid in Chef.
It's, I don't know, kid with curly hair.
Kid with curly hair.
Boy,
next to Jon Favreau.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, Iron Man 2, I don't totally know what critics said about it, but, like, it's markedly not
as
good.
I think critics did not like Iron Man 2.
And then...
Sam Rockwell, though.
I like him. His character is so annoying, but I like him.
His character is awesome.
Yeah.
His character's kicking. The scene where he's like, "This one I call the ex-wife," and I love it so much.
Yeah.
He's just like a little fucked up guy. He's just like Donald Trump during the 2016 presidential election.
What?
He's spray tanned the whole movie.
Oh, yeah, I guess. But they cast him in that because he was almost cast as Tony Stark.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Which, I mean, good thing he wasn't.
Fuck, dude. That would have been a completely set. Oh, my God.
Exactly 1 year after Iron Man 2, Cowboys and Aliens. Speak on this movie, because I've never seen it.
Such a bad movie. I think it's Daniel Craig.
I think it is, yeah. You want me to look it up for the stats? No.
I think it is definitely Daniel Craig.
When did you see this movie?
Years ago. Maybe on an airplane.
Your reaction to it is still visceral, though.
So fucking bad.
What's it even about?
It's about, well, this might shock you, but it's about cowboys.
Stop.
Fighting aliens.
No!
It's Daniel Craig. So fucking bad. He's got like a alien device on his wrist. I don't remember the plot of this movie. It's bad.
But it's bad. We can assume the critics thought it was bad.
It's not a good movie.
So, you know, Jon Favreau's been taking less and less time between his movies. You know, like, Iron Man is 3 years after Zathura.
Is it 2008?
Yes.
Hmm. Good year for movies.
Yeah.
Juno.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, we should cover Juno.
We should.
Anyway, 3 years between Zathura and Iron Man, 2 years between Iron Man and Iron Man 2, 1 year between Iron Man 2 and Cowboys and Aliens. And I can only assume that Jon Favreau's career was in a creative rut,
in
as
shambles.
He says in this movie. So he takes 3 years to make Chef.
And Chef kicks ass.
Yeah, and this movie is all about a man who is very good at his job, but his creativity is stifled by the big guy, the guy he's working for, and the
Dustin
constant
Hoffman.
Need. Yeah, the constant need to appeal to the masses.
What a crazy bit part to get for Dustin Hoffman.
I know. I wonder what else Dustin Hoffman was doing around this time.
Kung Fu Panda?
Kung Fu Panda, that's the thing. Another thing that is crazy that he's in. Just a weird little freaky man in general.
Mm.
Yeah, but I think this movie is Jon Favreau trying to...
Is he still kicking? Dustin?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know if he's been in anything recently, but...
I swear to God I saw him in something.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
He might have been in Kung Fu Panda 4.
Probably.
Just recently came out.
Another movie I'm never going to see.
Yeah, I don't plan on it, honestly. Like, I love Kung Fu Pandas 1 and 2. Haven't seen the third. Probably not going to see the fourth. Sorry. Sorry, DreamWorks.
Second Kung Fu Panda movie is, like, so amazing.
It is. It is. I'd watch the third. I don't know. I've just heard bad things about the fourth.
What's the Bryan Cranston one?
Is his dad Bryan Cranston? I didn't know that. That's
Bryan
so
Cranston
cute.
Has a storied career of playing fathers.
Yeah.
Malcolm in the Middle.
Breaking Bad.
Breaking Bad.
Best father in the world.
Godzilla 2014.
Oh.
Yeah, he's the dad. He's in the cold open of that movie, and he's the best part of the movie, and he dies in like the first 45 minutes.
Oh. Poor buddy.
Yeah.
Anyway, this movie is clearly Jon Favreau dealing with his personal struggles,
mm-hmm.
Which I think is good. Like, he definitely deserves to make that kind of movie with everything that he's given to the world. I just think it's funny how obvious it is.
Yeah, I
and
agree.
Also, like, on top of that, he just makes the sexiest women in the world unbelievably horny for him.
It's the food.
I mean, I guess I get it. Like,
he says it in the movie. He's like, every good thing that's happened to me has come because of food.
Yeah. Oh my God, the scene.
Scarlett Johansson being visibly aroused as he is making her food.
He's calling in his friend from Iron Man 2, Scarlett Johansson.
So hot in this movie. She's got the dumb fucking tattoos.
I don't like her tattoos.
On the shoulders.
If we're getting into who in this movie makes us horny, I'm not particularly horny for anyone in this movie, but Casper is horny for Scarlett Johansson and John Leguizamo.
You call me Casper.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
I did not. Why would I say Casper?
Because the guy's name is Casper.
Yeah, I haven't been saying Casper, though.
You said Casper.
I didn't. You're wrong.
I'm not horny for John Leguizamo. I think he's just a good-looking guy.
Okay.
In his little fucking child's fedora that he steals.
Yeah. Anyway, I don't know. I've never particularly found. I know obviously Scarlett Johansson is very beautiful.
Didn't we? What did we say? She's like too symmetrical.
Yeah. No, I don't know. She's like kind of too like traditionally feminine and sexy and symmetrical.
There was definitely a point in my life where I thought Scarlett Johansson was the sexiest woman on planet Earth.
Yeah. I mean, bar none. I'm sure every man goes
through that. All right, enough about Jon Favreau dealing with his personal issues. On to him dealing with my personal issues.
Divorce.
Big theme in this movie.
Are your parents listening to this?
I don't fucking know. Okay. Probably. I think my mom will. Okay. I haven't told my father that I'm doing a podcast.
I think you did, bestie. I was in the car with you and you did.
Oh. Sorry, Dad. Maddie, I think they know that they're divorced.
Well, yeah, I know. I just don't want to be making light of the subject myself. I want to be making light
of it. It's the best way to deal with it.
Yeah.
Don't tell my therapist I said that. I've actually been out of therapy for quite a long time.
Yeah. I, like, only just started therapy up literally last week, and it was rough.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I hate onboarding in therapy.
What, like...
You have to just, like, go through, it's like, here's all the shit that's wrong with me.
Yeah, no, it sucks.
It's really stupid.
It makes me feel ill to talk about.
It makes me feel bad, yeah. Which is, like, I don't want to meet a new therapist. I should probably, like, go back to therapy, honestly.
Here you are.
Almost a year.
Untherapized. And you're glowing.
And frothing.
He's rabid, I'm ladies.
Fucking, oh. Anyways, divorce in this film. It's handled really well until it's not at all.
Is this the second movie in a row that we cover and the major thing that we would change is the ending?
I think so. It really fucking beefs it at the end,
it
I think.
It really
like,
does.
It's really sweet until it reveals that it's him and his wife. Here's my first if we did it. Make it be John Leguizamo. It could be his wedding.
Oh, yeah.
It could be his wedding and Chef Carl Casper and his son are up cooking in the
wonderful.
In the kitchen and it'd be beautiful.
Serving for any wedding is great, but yeah, just not.
That'd be great.
Not a remarriage.
But they get
Come on.
Remarried at the end of this movie and it's like fuck it. It sucks so bad that you're, like, normalizing divorce just to be, like, divorce is a problem that needs to be fixed.
Right.
Not, like, the solution to a problem.
Right.
Which is what I think kind of divorce is a lot of the time. Like, it's the last resort to a failing marriage.
Yeah. And it's painful, but it's something that...
That really helps kids.
With.
There's a point in the movie where he's, like... It's just better for you if mom and I aren't living together.
Yeah.
Because we're still really good friends and we still want to like spend time together, but we can't like live together and take care of you the best way that you deserve, which I really have felt as like when I was a kid, I used to wish that my parents would get back together. I used to wish that they all lived in the same house.
Yeah.
And I mean, being an adult is realizing that that would be a fucking nightmare. Sorry, Mom and Dad, but crazy.
Yeah.
But it deals with the divorce in such a good way. Like,
I think it does a really good job of showing the smaller moments.
Of like, the drop-off and the pickup.
Yeah.
And, like, that not being a fucking miserable thing. And that not being, like, the emotional climax of the movie. Like, I watched, last semester, I watched Before Midnight. Is that the last one?
Yes.
And I had to leave because I was so fucking sad about the way they were handling the divorce. Like, not about the way they were handling, but it made me sad because it made me think of how I felt.
It was just a brutal.
It's just, it's gut wrenching. And it's accurate, but it's not accurate to every time. It's accurate to the worst times. And so much of the time
that makes sense.
With divorce, it's just like the fucking monotony of being like, you know, it's the routine of we get in the car and we go to your mom's. We get in the car and go to your dad's. You take your shit out. You pack a bag. You make sure you have all the stuff you want. Oh, I forgot this one thing. That's a bummer. I have to wait a week to see it or whatever. It's that is the shit about divorce that is like real, I think. And not to say that like the drama of it isn't real, but the drama of it is the glamorous cinematic part of it,
right?
That is shown in like Marriage Story.
Yeah, there's more movies about the huge fights,
but so much of it is the little stuff.
Yeah,
because you can fight and have a fine relationship, and like fighting is even good for a relationship. If you agree on everything, it's not great all the time.
You gotta be able to
disagree. You have no stress test if you don't fight.
Yeah.
But like the little stuff not clicking in a relationship is where it falls apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like you can see where the little stuff like doesn't click, I think, with this relationship
in the movie. Chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they sort of force it back together.
Yeah.
Really quick. He's just like, I love you. And then she's like, I love you too.
It just, that really didn't work for me, if I'm being honest.
I think
we didn't get any kind of, like, even like romantic tension between them.
No.
They just seemed
like. I think he was just like not over her, which is.
Well, yeah. But like, you can be not over someone
and not
be totally in love with them, you know? Like,
Yeah. Anyways, I think it was really great. I think the parenting in this movie was really great, too. Like, Jon Favreau really respected the kid.
Yeah,
like,
I think so, too.
He treated him more like an adult, and he let him make, like, mistakes. And I think a couple of moments were like, you can have a sip of the beer. All right, remember, you didn't like it? Remember that next time your friend offers you a beer.
I was.
And is like, I'm going to buy you a knife. It's responsibility, but yes. I trust you with it.
Yes.
Which is
putting that trust.
So huge. As like, that's something that I've done like with my grandfather. And my father is like, my grandfather gave me a knife. And before he handed it to me, don't cut yourself with it. This is a tool. This isn't a toy. You have to be careful with this.
Right.
And then I remember the first time I ever cut myself with a knife, I was so disappointed in myself.
Really?
Like, I felt like I'd let my grandfather down.
Oh.
And it made sure that next time I was a lot more careful. Like, these are the things that, like, I think help you become, like, a sort of, like, a better... You learn things yourself. You learn them better instead of people
when your parents
like telling
put that respect
exactly.
In you. Yeah,
and like he burns his hand on the grill, and Jon Favreau's, are you okay? Do you want to keep going or do you want to stop? And he's like, that's respect. Is put giving the child the agency to do
right,
something
fully
like that.
Giving him the choice.
Is that I really, really, really respect that.
Yeah, yeah, I like that moment a lot. I thought, yeah, there are really a lot of great small moments.
And in also this his
movie.
Dynamic with that kid, like they are so good together.
Great chemistry. Shout out. Wait, hang on.
Casting director.
What? No, I'm trying to find the kid's name.
Shit, I saw this earlier.
MJ Anthony. He also played the kid in It's Complicated, in 2009, which, yeah, I don't know, I think he was good in that, but he was a lot younger. He was just, like, Alec Baldwin's, like, his stepdad,
mm-hmm.
and he's like, why are you sneaking out of the house? And Alec Baldwin's like, don't worry about it, motherfucker, and then that's it.
That does sound like Alec Baldwin. Don't worry about it, motherfucker. That's not really what he sounds like at all.
No, that was actually not bad.
Okay. Another thing that I fucking loved about this movie is just, like, the amount of healthy male friendships in this movie.
The male friendships were very sweet.
Where, like...
Yes. John Leguizamo just loves the work. He loves his friend, but he also loves making good food, and that's why he chooses to join
him. He gets... After Jon Favreau's fired... From his sous is promoted to a chef de cuisine, and his first reaction to this is like, he sees him in a bar and he's like, you know what? Like, I'm not happy about the way that it happened, but I'm happy that it happened.
Yes.
Like, and yeah. That's so beautiful.
It's very nice. I think, yeah, honestly, a lot of fairly healthy relationships in this movie.
Really very healthy relationships.
Yeah.
Shocking for the character that Jon Favreau plays in this movie.
Yeah, but, I know. Yeah, he's got a lot of great friends. And he's got a great kid.
And the kid, yeah, the kid is so great.
Kid's so cute.
And
good job.
John Leguizamo saying, like, on the phone, is like, hey, I made sous chef because you left. And he's like, hey, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then immediately he's, like, on a plane to Miami.
Right.
And saying... Well, I said I'd be a line cook for you next time I'm here. So he quits being a sous chef.
Right.
To be a line cook.
Because he loves
because he
loves the food and he loves his friend.
It was beautiful.
And he just wants to make good food.
I thought it was really beautiful. And yes. Like the dynamic between the three of them and the truck was really great.
What do you think of the cornstarch on your balls?
Cornstarch on your balls. Honestly. Can I get some of that?
Yeah. Let me get some of that.
My balls are sticking to my leg right now.
Okay.
I could use some cornstarch.
I was debating when we were watching the movie, I kind of wanted to ask, like, Jasper, would you do that? But I was like, I'll save it for the pod.
I would do that.
The listeners need to hear.
Dude, it's
if Jasper
fucking
wants cornstarch on
New Orleans
his
in
balls.
The summer. They're driving to New Orleans in the summer from Miami.
Yeah.
It's so hot. It's so hot.
It's humid.
In a food truck.
You're in the bayou.
In like an 88 food truck.
Yes.
That would be hot.
Yes.
That was really great, though. I thought, like, something you said is just the amount of communication in this, like, healthy communication. And that we were always, like, all of the conflict in the movie was resolved, like, within 5 minutes of it being introduced. Like,
basically,
he fights with this kid, he finishes cleaning the truck, and is like, hey, I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry, I snapped at you. Fucking beautiful.
Yeah, it's really nice. That's really nice.
Like, I think a lesser movie, in a lot of ways, would have introduced more conflict. Like, jealousy between him and his suit. Jealousy between him and John Leguizamo.
A more conventional movie, certainly, would do that.
I think
Jon Favreau is just here to have a good time, man.
I think
he doesn't give a shit.
Regardless of if it's a vanity project or not, it is a vanity project. It feels so good to just be, like, inhabiting this world with these people, I think.
Yes.
Like, it is so great. And I think that it is a really beautiful movie. And, like, it's shot very well.
It looks good.
It looks really good.
Like, way better than it needs to,
I know.
I will say. Yeah.
And they shoot the food really well.
Oh, yeah.
And,
God. This is quite the food movie. Jasper was getting very hungry while watching it.
Fuck, dude. They had, like, steak. The thing that he was, like, showing off in his own kitchen to, like, show himself that he still had it.
Right.
Wow,
just
the food critic
no
was,
one.
Like, in the... Fuck, all that looked so good. He made a quail.
This is, also maybe why this movie connects more with Jasper than
me. The amount of meat. It's, like, it's a very meat-centric movie.
None of the food in this movie really looks appetizing to me.
What about the pasta he makes for Scarlett Johansson?
Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah, I don't know. Pesto.
I don't know, dude. I'd fucking murder a Cuban sandwich right now.
Yeah.
A Cubano. Love me a good sandwich. Like, a grilled sandwich. There's something about it.
Mm.
It's good. I think there is really something beautiful about the act of, like, preparing food, generally.
Yes, we were talking about this while watching the movie,
and
too. We've both worked food service jobs, and we both think there's something special about it, even if it's not really...
It's, like, fulfilling in a way that a lot of other work isn't. Even, which feels, like, weird to say. Like, you should just be happy doing food service forever, but, like...
Well, no, obviously not.
Yeah, but people, you know, people gotta do food service.
I don't
want to
fucking work at Subway forever, but,
yeah, but
like,
it's a completely respectable job, and it is, like, I think it's a very, like, honorable profession to be making food for people.
I think so, yeah, absolutely. And I mean, one of my dreams is to work in food service for food that I actually like. But even if it's not food that I personally enjoy, there's something very satisfying about
I'm sure I'm going to be back in food service one of these days.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I'm graduating with a film degree in 2025. I'm going to fucking... one of the main things that we got in the map day thing for the PA information session is, like... Collect unemployment between jobs. There's nothing wrong with collecting. They said collect unemployment between jobs. That's what it's there for.
Yeah,
it's good advice.
That's what it's there for.
Yeah, I think like another big thing is that like the themes of this movie as being like a modern movie, as talking, engaging with social media in a way that like a lot of other movies are just starting to sort of get now, I feel like.
Sure, yeah.
Like, in a smart, good way. And it is, like, a non-cynical view, as we said earlier.
Do you think it's a smart way that this movie handles social media?
I think it's a smart way that it handles being capable on social media, because being capable on social media is so often, like, derided.
It is an important skill nowadays.
It's so often, like, oh, the kid's good on social media... Because he's like...
Jasper is miming
he's
being
a fucking
an
screen
iPad
ager,
kid
but
right
like,
now.
The kid is an iPad kid, but he's also interested in stuff. And when you engage him on his level and reward him for being good at what he's good at, he's good at photography, he's good at like organizing stuff. And John Leguizamo says it in the movie. He's like, you could be a graphic designer. You could be like a promoter or something. It's like... It's crazy what you can do with that, and like respecting that is, I think, pretty fucking revolutionary for a movie that came out in 2014.
Yes, I almost think Jon Favreau or any writer
is getting Twitter kickbacks.
Well, I just think most people wouldn't make that decision today just because social media has maybe gotten worse for society.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. Yeah. Anyway, I think it does, like, it shows the bad sides of social media, like, people, like, slamming him on Twitter, and it shows a way to turn that around and be like, yeah, you're getting press, you can make that into good press, you know, like, you can harness that if you know what you're doing, and if you're doing what you love, then the press is good press, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think... yeah, I guess so. I just liked that the kid was sort of, like, getting props for it.
It was cute. It was really cute.
It was really nice. In a way that would feel like... It feels, like, almost sitcom-y. Like, because a lot of the time there is, like, a character in a sitcom who's, like, always on their phone, and then they're, like, the stupid person. Like, Modern Family, even, you know, connected by...
Sofia Vergara. I love her.
She was great.
She's so funny.
Mm-hmm. But, like, you know, there's so many times in that thing where it's like, oh, your skill set is something to openly mock for an amount of time until, like, we realize you're useful.
Yeah, yeah.
But they never really made fun of the kid, like...
Right. And when they did, it was more just, like, parents being parents.
Exactly.
Or, like, John Leguizamo being like, oh, your kid's on his iPad, hey, like...
Or, like, Jon Favreau being like... What, there's people swearing on YouTube?
Right, yeah. That was funny, too, as well as the kid being a screenager.
Yeah, I definitely don't have as much to say about the, like, cinematography of it all this time, because I think it was really understated in, like, a really beautiful way.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it did everything that it should have done.
I think it used, like, it looked like it used a lot of natural light anyways, which is a beautiful look when a movie can pull that off. It's got a really neutral... like, color palette, too, which I think is really nice, except when it comes to the food, and the food is really saturated, which I think is really, it's a really good choice to have something
sure
like that.
That on purpose.
And the music choice throughout is so fucking good.
So many needle drops, lots of good Cuban music,
yeah.
Also not Cuban music, just, yeah, It's just, it's like half music video. There's so much music.
It's really great. Two Gary Clark Jr. Songs.
And he's in the movie.
And he's in the movie, like performing a concert, which I said at the time was like, how much of this movie is them sort of like cinema verita, like making food and just pointing a camera at it? And how much of this is like, all right, we're taking this. This is a very specific thing that we need. I think I would love to be on the set of something like this because it seemed it from the movie it seems like it would have been a really fun set to be on.
Yeah, I think so. I definitely think so.
And I was also speculating that like during the 1 second video montage, which it's at some point in the movie, it's revealed that the kid is making taking 1 second of video a day and is cutting it all together in over his entire summer break to show his father, and he shows it to him at the end, and it's like what makes the son able to work on the food truck again, which is like this beautiful moment of connection and
very
like
cute.
It's so good.
Yeah, and that's you know, good point for technology.
But there was this thing where I was like, oh, the video quality is changing between these clips. Yes, how much of that is... A bunch of that, I bet, was BTS of the shoot.
Yes.
And I thought that was really cute. Like, intercutting something like that is really, really sweet, I think.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think that's really sweet.
And I think it is a really sweet movie. Like, it has a lot of heart. It has a lot to say about, like, food as service and food as like an act of love. Like even when at the beginning when he's not really connecting with his son very well, the amount of care that goes into like that grilled cheese sandwich.
Yeah, that was very cute.
He's like, this is a thing that I love and I want you to love it too. Yeah. And he's like, when they're in Miami and they're at the restaurant with his ex-wife's father, and he's like, this is a really great sandwich. I wake him up. I want him to experience this. I was like, that's really sweet.
You're so excited
about this that you want this kid to have that experience.
And it's so sweet. I mean, the kid's like a good character in himself, but the kid just really, he's fascinated by his dad, even though, like, it's his dad. Mm-hmm. And he gets mad at him sometimes and he doesn't like it when he gets bossed around. But he's really, he's fascinated by his dad's skill. And
dude, I would
he wants
be.
To be
if,
like
if I
dad.
Could cut if I could cut like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god, it'd be over.
Yeah, game over.
All my enemies just be diced on my cutting
Kevin
board.
Feige,
Kevin Feige,
get on the paw.
Fingies. Kevin
finally
Fingy.
Kevin, okay.
Kevin Fingy French fries.
Okay.
I couldn't think of a funny thing to say.
No, that's really good. Good job.
That felt patronizing. God, yeah, but the music was really great. It really contributed to the energy of the movie, and the editing of the movie was really kinetic. There was one thing that really didn't land for me in the editing, which was there was, like, this very... Like, it cut up the screen during, like, this montage.
Yeah, I'm not a huge
And it, like, it was, like, this multi-panel
either.
Thing. It reminded me of, like, the Parks and Rec opening.
Oh, wait, you're right. I said Ang Lee's Hulk, but, yeah, same style.
Just yeah.
Bringing in frames and rectangles where, you know, don't really need them.
You don't need them.
Also, okay, we disagreed on this. I did not like
the Twitter.
The little birds flying away when they tweeted something. Jasper thought it was cute.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just seems a little corny to me.
I thought it was nice. So is that one of your if I did it?
Yes.
You'd take it out?
Yeah.
I thought it was sweet. And I thought, like, the little animated birds was a nice little touch. And I think it added a lot of, it added some tactile sense to some of the flatter compositions.
Yeah.
Of,
yeah,
like,
that's fair.
There was a lot of times where, like, it was just them in the truck, and it's, like, depth in the composition, but they're all, like, they're just, like, three people standing there, and then the kid's, like, typing on his phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's, a really easy shot to pull off and make look okay, but it's not interesting.
Right.
And you put something on the screen, and it's, like, oh, it serves a purpose then.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good way to, like, do B-roll, is to have... Like, these characters, you don't have to, like, make up a thing for your character to do. You just have, like, downtime. They're on a road trip.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of little moments like that.
Yeah.
There's, Yeah, cute road trip moments, cornstarch on the balls.
I definitely thought he was going to pee in a jar.
He was, like, trying to unzip his pants and something, and I was like, ooh, had cornstarch on his balls. Isn't that bad?
No. I don't...
What?
Over break, I had to pee in when I was stuck in that traffic jam, I had to pee in a cup.
Joe Goldberg? Is that you? What?
I had to pee in a cup in 3-hour traffic because I wasn't going to get out of the car and pee in front of, like, a million people. No, but, like, fair. It was awful. Hated it. I hated it.
And what'd you do with the piss?
I dumped it out in a parking lot.
Okay, but, like, after the traffic jam. You had to keep it in there.
Yeah, probably. I had to keep it in there for, like, an hour. And my car smelled like pee a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It was bad. It was gross. I didn't like it.
Not the best experience.
And then I went and to a gas station because I needed to, like, treat myself. I needed to get food. It was, like, 3 p.m. now because I'd been in this traffic jam for so long. And I got myself, like, $30 worth of food. And I dumped out my pee in the parking lot. And that was that.
It's your little contribution to the ecosystem.
I like to think I live an interesting life.
You absolutely do, Jasper. You go on little piss escapades.
I
just
do.
Just like Joe Goldberg.
Piscapades.
Piscapades.
It was right there.
Yeah, no, I it didn't occur to me, so you had to do it. What do you think of the sexual healing?
Fuck, dude, song? That was so funny. That's so good.
I felt bad for the kid.
I've lived that. Yeah. My father has sang songs like that on a road trip with me before. Or just, like, hanging out in the car and singing with your dad is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like me and my dad listened to, like, we pick, like, a Weezer album per road trip. It's usually Blue Album or Pinkerton. Mm-hmm. But, like, we did Ratitude once just to shake it up.
Yeah.
Ratitude's so much of Ratitude is so fucking bad.
And Jasper still loves it.
I do.
It's a...
Maddie.
It's when something touches your heart like that.
Satin tights, boots so white, leopard handbag, out of sight. What used to mean a little, now means a lot. Oh my goodness me.
Fuck that song.
Come on.
The girl got hot.
Woo! It's a good song.
Disagree.
You don't like that song?
I don't know.
I love that song. Eagle feather in her feathered hair. Dash of rouge, buyer beware.
Is that how I should dress?
No, it's just, is that how you should dress?
To appeal to the Riverses of the world.
Yeah, are you trying to catch a Rivers?
I would be
the opposite. Dress whatever the opposite.
I don't think I'm his type if you catch my drift.
Japanese?
Yeah. I'm a white girl. Not good for Rivers Cuomo.
No. He's got kids, I think.
Does he?
I think so.
Good for him. Him and his wife have been together for a while.
For a really long time, yeah. Break them up. Get the divorce album out.
Rivers.
Come on the pod.
Gonna finally have another good Weezer album.
All right. Dream episode of If We Did It.
Oh, my God.
Is Rivers Cuomo.
Kevin Feige.
And Kevin Feige.
And O.J. Simpson. All in a room. Wait, how many mics do we have in here?
We've got
1, 3. 2, 3,
and
4.
They just replace us. And that's the podcast forever.
Oh, okay.
That's the podcast. That's the new podcast. We give up the podcast.
And would they keep doing it?
Yeah, they would keep doing it.
They live on Wheaton College campus. They're trapped in here.
We feed them a little bit.
Oh, okay. We, like, slide it under the door. Mm-hmm.
We give OJ some Chase gloves in case he's feeling frisky.
I love that idea.
By the way, just want to get this out there. O.J. Simpson killed his wife, or ex-wife, Nicole Brown. And,
yeah, this is not a
proven
O.J.
Simpson.
Yeah,
Simpson on this podcast. Like, good for the justice system for functioning for rich people, I guess. But, like, he killed his wife.
Yeah.
Or, I feel bad, like, calling her his wife because they were divorced. Like, I shouldn't do that, but that's, like, the popular narrative. It is really heartbreaking, and she was, like, very very vocal in the last few months of her life about, like, he's violent. If I die, it's OJ.
Oh, well.
If something happens to me, it's OJ.
Yeah.
Notably, yeah, whatever.
Sad story.
Sad story.
Yeah. That are
also possible lesbian, according to one of her friends' memoirs.
Yeah?
They had an sensual experience.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Okay, Nicole. Good for her.
Mm-hmm. Good for Nicole. Lived with a dumb buff guy.
Yeah.
Named Kato Kalin.
She's
the
living
last...
the dream. Bisexual queen. I shouldn't say she's living the dream. She was literally killed. Anyway.
She was living the dream.
Yeah.
Probably not, actually. She was living in fear of her abusive ex, but, mm-hmm. like, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. If the glove fits.
If the glove doesn't fit, don't wear it. If the glove fits, beat your hand against the wall of a courthouse until it's too swollen to fit in the glove.
Oh, there you go. Do you think that's what he did?
No, that is what he did.
Oh. I didn't catch that part of the story.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard that, like, leather shrinks sometimes, so it didn't fit. Shrug.
Gross miscarriage of justice. Anyways.
Anyway.
What
were we talking about?
Chef.
Chef. El Jefe.
El Jefe. Good branding on the whole thing. I think, like, Cuban sandwiches being, like, the cornerstone of that food cart, or food truck, that wasn't really what I didn't remember that at all, but I think it's really cool that it was, like, that was a thing, and that was, like, part of his connection with his wife, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's really nice. Yeah. I expected the movie to be more about
fine dining-centric at the beginning, I thought.
That and, like multicultural, like food fusion, mm-hmm. which is, like, cool.
Which they do actually end up doing, because they do the... They do sliders
That's true.
With the Texas
That's
barbecue.
True. Yeah, they mix up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
And they keep it on the menu.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, they keep sliders on the menu. You can see it in another shot
when the critic
comes back to talk about funding him.
Cute.
The critic, whose name I cannot remember, the actor, is in The Bear, and he plays, like, the same kind of guy in The Bear.
Oliver Platt.
He's really good in The Bear. I think, like... He plays a very similar guy, except he's, like, a little bit more, like, mobby.
okay. He does kind of give mobby vibes.
He's, like, instead of, like, I'm going to fund your restaurant, he's, like, I'm going to foreclose on your restaurant if you can't make money.
Mm. So more of a...
He's, like, a good guy, though.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I gotta watch that show, man.
It's a really good show.
Yeah.
Honestly, we could do The Bear, like, a season review of The Bear on
yeah.
the pod.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
I'd be really happy that'd about that. I really, really like The Bear. Like,
yeah.
The Bear is, I think, one of the more... I'm not gonna say innovative, because I don't really think it is innovative, but, like, very well-produced shows.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I love that.
Like, it's doing the same stuff. Like, Chef is doing all the same stuff as The Bear, except without a lot of the tension. Like, it's where The Bear is, like, conflict prone.
Yes.
It is conflict averse.
Yeah.
Which
makes sense.
Yeah.
Just movies versus TV, mm. and also Chef versus everything else, because Chef has no conflict.
Chef is a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
And I'm really happy that it can exist with... no conflict, and I feel like that almost, like, breaks the form in a lot of ways.
It really
of, like,
does.
That kind of movie is you would expect him to have a huge falling out with his son or something, or, like, have some really bad... We kept saying, it was like, where is... I had, like, this feeling in my chest, and I was like, oh, something terrible is going to happen.
Yeah.
And nothing
yeah.
terrible happens.
I know.
He has, like, a tearful conversation with his son where he's like... you're going to have to go to school after this. And,
yeah.
like, we can't just hang out all the time. And this has been really great. And I feel like I've gotten to know you. And I feel disappointed in myself for not putting the effort in before.
Yeah.
And I just don't want you to be disappointed. And it goes back to, like, respect. But it was really, I think, really something.
Yeah. I think so, too. I like this movie a lot. Should we do an If We Did It?
I did my three.
What were your three?
The ending.
That's the big one for both of us.
The editing.
Oh, the road trip sequence.
Yeah. I don't know what my other one was. Maybe I'll do the last one.
Mine would be, yeah, obviously the ending. I would completely change that ending to make them not get remarried.
Mm-hmm.
I would honestly, I would take out or change the Scarlett Johansson stuff.
Okay. Like the character?
Just like the relationship that they have and that you see it in the beginning and don't see it in the end.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I know that's like...
Or like have a consistent relationship throughout.
Yeah.
Like have a girlfriend that he sort of breaks up with and then sort of gets back together with. Or,
yeah. Which the movie doesn't need that, I think, but it kind of sets it up and doesn't deliver. Which, I don't know, I usually like it a lot in movies when...
When they don't, yeah.
When they, show... Oh, we just got music playing.
The music's
in
back.
In the background. I don't know if you listeners at home can hear that.
This fucking music.
Yeah.
We've got elevator music on in the background.
Yeah, Balfour is playing music for an event, we think, right?
I don't... It was throughout the whole place. But it ended for almost an hour.
Yeah. What the heck? Anyway, maybe they're telling us to wrap up like an Oscar speech. What was I going to say? I usually like it a lot, actually, when movies kind of fill in details about characters, even if they don't intend to make plots about them.
Yeah.
Oh, the music stopped. The character of Tony being a chef that works with Casper...
And
it's like, he's an alcoholic. Like, that's a character detail that they talk about a couple times and then don't really follow up on. Like, I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
I think it's nice.
It adds flavor. It adds depth.
Yeah, it adds depth. I like that. Just with something like the ScarJo romance.
She didn't have much depth to her.
Not a ton of depth. And I think she kind
and
of...
And neither did Sofia Vergara, honestly.
The two main female characters in this movie.
Not very deep.
Not super deep.
It
I don't
definitely,
know.
Like, if you want to get into it, I think some of the writing is definitely, like, male-centric. And it is more about the relationship between, like, a father and son than it is
Which
about...
Which is great. Like, it's definitely very good as a father and son movie. The women mostly function to motivate...
The men.
Yeah. To motivate Jon Favreau, specifically. Yeah.
Because that's what he wrote them to do.
Yes, that's what he did. That's what he wanted. So that's what he wrote. Yeah, so I would, I don't know, switch it up with ScarJo. Then my third, if I did it.
How would you feel if it was a different woman, like a different actress?
Probably better, honestly. Yeah, no, you're right.
I think if it wasn't Scarlett Johansson, if it was, like, someone with, like, maybe a little bit more...
A more homely...
More homely.
Actress.
I was going to say a little bit more character to her.
Oh.
But, yeah, homely is nice.
No, just, I mean,
Let's think about it for a second.
Are you trying to...
I'm thinking about it for a second.
Okay. Yeah, it's just kind of funny, like, Scarlett Johansson, like, he obviously already knew her from casting her in Iron Man 2, so he's just calling in an old friend who is also, like, one of the
high
notoriously
actor that you can put
sexy
on the,
women.
That you can put on the billing.
Yes,
get people to come in.
Scarlett Johansson's been in so many movies, man.
It's crazy.
It's like...
It's, like, alarming how many movies she's been in.
And she, yeah, so many movies throughout the last decade. And so many of them are, like, not good. Like,
maybe she's not that good of an actress.
I mean, I think she's a good actress. But, like, she's in art house movies nowadays as if she wasn't in, like, absolutely terrible movies
as if
like
she
5 years ago.
A Ghost in the Shell.
Yes.
Asian
queen Scarlett Johansson.
Latina icon Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah. Are you thinking?
I am still thinking. I'm having a trouble getting a woman who's, like, maybe age-appropriate.
Right, because... I mean, I don't know. Jon Favreau was probably, what, in his 40s? Yeah, he was in his 40s. Yeah, because he's 57 now. This movie came out 10 years ago. In 2014. So, he would have been 47 or 48. ish when this came out. I don't know his birthday, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that's your favorite song, Jasper. It's DJO, End of Beginning.
I have no opinions. I just don't like, I don't like his music that much.
Yeah.
DJO. Isn't it probably just Joe? Just like a weird phonetic spelling of Joe.
Maybe. Like Django Unchained.
Yeah.
If that was his intention, he probably should have made that more clear. That was unnecessarily shady on Joe Keery.
That sorry, fucker, Joe Keery.
I'm sorry,
hey,
Joe.
Hey, Joe Keery, get at me, dude. 3 rounds. You, me, Kevin Feige.
3 rounds. Bare fists.
Bare fists. We know you get your shit rocked every season in Stranger Things. Come get your shit rocked in real life.
Honestly, you're right. Like, how many times have we seen that kid just with scars up and down his face?
Many.
Yeah.
He's in stuff right now.
Is he?
Yeah, he's having like a sort of dramatic renaissance, I'd say.
Like what?
Fargo.
Is he the show?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's doing really good work in Fargo,
good
I think.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I like that for him.
And then Spree was like a couple years ago.
Did you see that?
I never saw it.
It looks crazy.
It probably is crazy.
I think we need to watch it with
Mel.
With Mel.
Is that her? Is it going to be her? Knowing her, it's going to be like fucking Fear Street or something. No shade, Mel, but like...
We love you, Mel, and we want you to choose.
We love you, Mel, but Mel I saw movie. Fear Street and Spider-Man No Way Home in the same night, and that was one of the worst nights of my life.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Why'd you watch them in the same night?
Because I wanted to know what was happening. Like, I feel like... Occasionally, with the Marvel stuff, I feel like I just need to be apprised at the situation. So I watched something.
I do not feel that way anymore. I don't know about you.
I don't either. I think that was the end of it. That put the fucking nail in it.
I think so, too, actually. Yeah.
That was, like, the biggest, like, jerk off on a plate and serve it to you. Like, fucking Marvel.
Do you think
thing.
So?
You don't think so?
I don't know.
You don't think, oh, here's a bunch of property we own. Here's 3 actors you like. Come look at everyone we've ever hired.
It worked for me.
We got
me.
Willem Dafoe. We got Jamie Foxx. We got Alfred Molina. We got the other guy.
I think it's just the fact that I love all those actors from other stuff that I'm like, oh my god, it's Alfred Molina. Or like, oh my god, it's Jamie Foxx. Like,
what am I? I
love Willem
Dafoe. I don't know
Willem
that I like Alfred Molina and that much other stuff. Like, he's a great actor.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. Exhausting.
I don't know.
I also have like,
movie's too long.
There's like an academic disdain for it at this point too. Like there's a lot of film theory stuff that we end up talking about. That's like conglomeration and like IP law and yeah. like how Disney keeps moving the goalpost on like Mickey Mouse just became public domain. The original 1920 Steamboat
yes.
Willie and like 2 other versions.
Oh, okay.
2 other cartoon versions are now public domain.
Was that good?
That was pretty good.
What do you think? You try.
Oh boy.
Okay.
It was okay. Yeah. Uh-huh.
That was good. That one was better.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy. That was better.
That was good. Yeah. Good
yeah.
job.
Hey, Disney, fucking get at me, bitch. 3 rounds.
Disney itself. Or are you talking to Walt Disney? The man.
Well, he's just the head in
the
fucking
man, the
cryogenic
head, the
chamber.
Yeah.
The man, the head, the legend.
The man, the head, the Nazi.
That's crazy. The Nazi, maybe? Wasn't he, like, notorious anti-Semite?
He was... certainly a Nazi sympathizer, mm. I know. Yeah. I guess not a literal Nazi, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. My ear hurts.
Sorry about your ear.
Yeah, it's okay.
All right, I feel like we've covered a good amount of ground. How
yeah.
do you feel about wrapping up?
Oh, my last if I did it was the damn birds.
The damn
fuck
birds.
Those birds.
Fuck the birds.
Fuck them birds.
I think if I had to pick another one, I think, like, spending more time with, like, different kinds of food. Or, like, not skipping
yeah.
from Texas to California, like there's nothing in between.
Oh, you want to know the real if I did it?
What?
Make it vegan.
No, you, yeah.
Vegan food
truck. They fucking shade vegans in the movie, too. Vegan food truck.
I love a good food movie. Mm-hmm. I love a ratatouille.
A ratatouille.
I love a chef.
I feel like I pronounce ratatouille wrong.
Do you just pronounce the T?
I just say, yeah, ratatouille.
Ratatata.
Hey, Maddie.
Yeah?
Get at me. 3 rounds.
It's me and Kevin Feige against you, bitch.
I have good odds on us. Joe Keery is going to go down in the first round.
Yeah, I'm not worried about it.
I have enough rage to carry me through Kevin Feige's skull into your spleen.
Okay. Will I just lose my spleen?
Yeah, you'll get better.
Okay.
You don't need a spleen.
Okay.
Do you? I don't know what a spleen does.
It filters blood.
Well, you have like 6 organs that filter blood, though.
Well,
that's you'll good probably news for me. You'll probably be okay.
What were we literally just talking about?
I don't know.
Oh, I was saying that I wanted a vegan food truck.
The vegan
movie.
Food truck. Yeah, I mean, I think you could do a food truck movie with pretty much any kind of food, but like,
there
is really something special about, personally, I think, like, cheap, high protein food truck meal.
Yes,
I think so too. With greasy meat.
Yeah. Put some greasy tofurkey on there for me. I'm good to go.
All right, you got it, pal. I think, yeah, there's like, I think like food movies are just like really amazing. And I need to see a few more of them.
So
like, it's an evergreen concept. Like, it's been working for a while.
And if you really give the love and attention as a filmmaker to the food, like everyone can get on board with that. And like, it's something special, you know, that like you go to a restaurant and you can go to a restaurant anytime, but like actually seeing the love behind the food and seeing it being made, that's like, it
makes people like hibachi
smile. Yeah.
Well, it's not, it's a combination of a bunch of things, I think.
Yeah.
But like hibachi's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're good. How do you feel?
I feel great. How do you feel?
I feel really good.
I like this movie. I think this episode maybe wasn't as spicy
focused.
And controversial. Oh, yeah. Also not as focused as Saltburn.
Not as focused, but I think, like, better structured.
Maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe we're in our sophomore slump.
No. We're doing great.
Yeah.
We'll slump next time, maybe.
Slump you later.
I introduced the word sluck while watching this movie with Jasper, because Jasper was trying to say this song slaps and this song fucks at the same time. You said this song fucks, or maybe you're talking about the food or something.
No, this song sucks is what I said.
Oh, yeah, you said the song sucks, and I said you should have said the song slucks.
I would have, I would rather put my head through a window.
than utter the word slug.
Utter the word slug, yes.
You just said it.
I know. I'm gonna add shattering glass right here. All right.
Good movie. Good episode.
Good movie, good episode. Well,
tune in next time for
thanks.
We
yeah.
don't know what movie we're covering.
I thought we were doing
Love and Mercy?
Not Love and Mercy. I thought we were doing the guest episode with
Mel.
What episode? What movie was that?
I don't think we have one chosen.
Oh, what did we have for? Oh, we had one with Aubrey and it was
Jack and Jill. That'll come. We'll get there.
We'll get there.
Yeah. Yeah, we should record more if we can.
We can just like batch record them too.
Yeah. Why not?
We could, like, get... Why don't we... We could do something like this, is just, like, find a day that works for us, maybe, like, next Friday or something, and just do, like, 2 of them in a day.
Yeah, I'm down.
And then we can release them week by week.
I'm so down.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening to another episode of the If We Did It podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, listener.
Thank you.
We appreciate
Steve.
You. Yeah, Steve. Get on the pod, Steve.
Get on the pod,
we
Steve.
Hear your voice.
Hey, Steve. 3 rounds.
3 rounds. Fisticuffs. Get at me.
Get at me, Steve. All right.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.